You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right, Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, King of Righteousness. Sedek is righteousness. Melch, king of righteousness. For this Melchizedek, and that name means king of righteousness. Who's the king of righteousness? Any ideas? King of righteousness. There you go. Jesus. Yeah, this is one of those theophanies. This is one of the pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like when he was in that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, leading his people out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt. For this Melchizedek, and that name means king of righteousness, king of Salem, that means king of peace. He's the king of righteousness and the king of peace. That's Jesus. Priest of the Most High God. As a matter of fact, he is the only mediator between God and man. That's quite a priest. Who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. Abraham paid tithes to the Lord Jesus Christ. The main reason most people never get to see God make 90% more than enough is because they hold on to that 10% difference between 90% of not enough and 100% of not enough. There's really not a whole lot of difference between 90% of not enough and 100% of not enough, but because people hold on to that difference, instead of giving it to God to acknowledge God as our source, that's the main reason they never see God move in their behalf to make 90% of not enough more than enough. People that don't tithe only hurt themselves. God doesn't need our money. God does not need our money, but he knows how to check us out. He knows he made us. He knows where the rubber meets the road with us. And if God is our source, we acknowledge that by way of the tithe, just as Abraham did. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness, Melchizedek, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother. Can you believe there's some people who say that they think that Melchizedek was Shem? Wait a minute. Shem had a father. His name was Noah. He had a mother, Mrs. Noah. I don't know Noah's last name. I know he was a preacher of righteousness, not very successful, but he certainly was faithful, wasn't he? Hallelujah. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. The Son of God. Very definite article. This is Jesus. one of his pre-incarnate appearances, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Isn't that wonderful to think about the Lord Jesus Christ seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for us? He ever lives to make intercession for the saints. It's a good thing to think about. Give you some peace in the midst of this storm we live in today. Now, consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they are the sons of Levi, who received the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren. Though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who receives tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there of another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Okay, this is an interesting question. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For if the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And this is what's important. That we understand. God is a perfect God. God never made anything but perfection. Everything he does is perfect. There was nothing wrong with the old covenant. The fault, as we will see and have seen, was found with the heart of the people. There was nothing wrong with the covenant. The fault was found with the heart of the people. We no longer have the ceremonial means of cleansing under the Levitical priesthood. But everything else, the feasts, the instructions from the Lord about so many areas of life, clean and unclean food, yeah, that's still part of what God said we ought to do. There's an important point that we probably ought to talk about a little bit, the fact of this question regarding Abraham and Melchizedek. You know, if the law under the Levitical priesthood could bring us to perfection, what need was there for a new covenant? You see, Abraham looked forward to what God had given him to prophesy, that God would provide himself a lamb. You see, all of the saints from Shem on down, from Adam to Shem to every saint that ever lived, Enoch. You know, when God took him, where did God take him? Did God take him to his third heaven? You see, all the saints looked forward to what God would do to perfect them. When saints died before the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, their souls went to paradise. Now, it was a nice place. Nothing but good people there. It was a nice place, and from that place they could look across this huge gulf and see a place that was a place of torment, a lake of fire, hell. But it's important for us to understand this. You know, all the saints knew that there was no provision in the law of Moses for the willful sin. The closest thing you could get to a provision by God for the people of God to deal with the willful sin, and every one of us is guilty of a willful sin somewhere along the line. But there's no provision in the Levitical law, the law of Moses, for the willful sin. And so they all looked by faith to God to provide that which was necessary. And that's why all saints of all time, in the first 4,000 years, which led up to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lamb of God that Abraham prophesied, when they died, their souls went to paradise. Their soul and spirit went to paradise. And I believe Yeshua would come there and hang out with them on Sabbath. But after the death, burial, and resurrection was made, after the propitiation was made, after the blood of God, the perfect, once-for-all perfect sacrifice was made, then they could have the necessary robes of righteousness provided by the King of Righteousness to enter into God's third heaven. That's an important point. And what we should understand is God is God. God cannot lie, and God does not change. And the only thing that God changed in the new covenant is we now have this better priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, which can cleanse to the purifying of the conscience. And we no longer have the ceremonial means of cleansing under the Levitical priesthood. But everything else, the feasts, the instructions regarding how we should eat, clean and unclean, the feasts. Most people think Christian feasts are Christmas and Easter. No, the feasts of the Lord are still the feasts of the Lord. It is not Christmas and Easter. Christmas honors the sun god Tammuz. Jesus was born in the September-October time frame. That's clear from the scriptures. The one who had a birthday of December 25th was Tammuz, the Babylonian sun god. And, of course, Easter Sunday morning, he was resurrected on Saturday, not Sunday, Saturday. He was crucified on Wednesday, Nisan 13 and 30 AD, 3 days and three nights later, just before dark, on Saturday is when he came out of that tomb. Mary got there as soon as it got dark, as soon as it was legally possible to get there without getting stoned for violating the Sabbath. And you know what she was worried about, and when she got there, that stone was already rolled away. But everything in the old covenant is still in effect except for the ceremonial ritual cleansing laws. But that does represent a change. For if the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. And that was necessary not because God had made an imperfect covenant. The fault was not with the covenant that God made with his people. The fault was with the heart of the people. They did not have the heart to keep it. And if you study that law very carefully, you'll find that there really is no provision in the law of Moses for the willful sin. As close as you get is Yom Kippur, when sacrifice and atonement was made for the sins of the high priest and the entire nation. That's as close as you get to it. In all of that, the more you study it, the more you see how it points to the atonement made by the Lamb of God that Abraham prophesied. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe. You see, Melchizedek was of the tribe of Judah, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. The priesthood was strictly of the tribe of Levi. Judah had nothing to do with the priesthood, but this Melchizedek priesthood order is of the tribe of Judah, because Jesus descended from the house and lineage of David. He was born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting, Micah 5:2. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of the of Melchizedek there arises another priest. Priest of the Most High God, King of Righteousness, King of Peace, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. That's why he told Moses, I am that I am. Tell him, I am hath sent thee the power of an endless life. Just like Micah said, that he would be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So all of a sudden, this becomes very clear, doesn't it? And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, there ariseth another priest who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life, the I Am, the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught the Torah to Moses. You see how it all fits together? It's just so glorious. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness. Hallelujah. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God through the atonement made by the Lamb of God, that God did in fact provide himself as the perfect sacrifice, the once for all perfect sacrifice for sin. Even making provision for the willful sin. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, and inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, King of Righteousness. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. You see, we have a better priesthood with better promises and certainly better cleansing to the purifying even of the conscience, which could never be done under the law of Moses. And there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Just about the time you got a high priest broken in and was good at being high priest, he was old, he died, and you had to start breaking in a brand new high priest. And truly, they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, the Eternal One, the I Am, the one with the endless life. But this man, because he continueth ever, you see, the endless life, Jesus Christ is the life. He is the light of men. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Hallelujah. Wherefore, and because of that, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. As a matter of fact, there is no other way to get saved. God has made a provision, and it's either going to be on God's terms, because it is God's holiness that was offended by our sin, or we're going to get what we deserve. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that glorious to think about? I love to think about that. That the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for you and me. That's a glorious thing to think about. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. It's our sin that separates us from God. And made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once. He offered himself as the once for all perfect Lamb of God that Abraham prophesied. For this he did once when he offered up himself, just like Abraham prophesied. For if the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now, we've been talking about a lot of things. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Here we come to the bottom line. You like that? You like that Bankster lingo? The CEO lingo? The business lingo? Now we come to the bottom line. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Here's the bottom line. We have such a high priest. Hallelujah. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the ensample and shadow of heavenly things. You see, what Moses built in the wilderness was a pattern of what God had in his third heaven. Yes. Who serve unto the ensample and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the minister of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hallelujah. You see, only the high priest could go within the veil once a year. And guess what? You and I can go there 24/7. We can even transcend time and space by his Holy Spirit and go and communicate with God where he is at on the highest throne of the universe by his Holy Spirit in us. Oh, hallelujah. The same Spirit that made Jesus at Cana made Jesus one with the Father. I and the Father are one, he said. By that same Spirit, we can go transcending time and space to where he is seated at the Father's right hand. Wow. Yeah, it's true. It's what it's all about. That's why this is so much better than religion. This is a relationship with God, where Jesus would consider us his little brothers and sisters, and his Father is our Father. Wow. God is my Father. You want to mess with me? You don't know my big brother if you want to mess with me. And if you don't know my big brother, you sure cannot know my Father. Hallelujah. Come on, you Muslims. Come on. Come on. Hey, all you Muslims want to kill a Christian? Come on. Try this one. You see the difference between the God of the real Christian and the oligarch that can't even find his own battles. Hallelujah. It's exciting. I don't know why anybody would not want to be a Christian. They don't have religion. Christianity is not about religion. It's about the relationship we have with God as our Father. That's what it's about. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator, only one. There's only one mediator between God and man. Don't you let anybody get in that position between you and God. You don't need some priest. You don't need some high-powered minister laying hands on you. You can go right to the top. No distributors, you know. You go factory direct, no distributors. Hallelujah. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hallelujah. I'm glad this is in my Bible. I like to spend a lot of time in this part of my Bible. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there should be no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them. You see, there was nothing wrong with the covenant. You see where the fault is. Hebrews 8:8. For finding fault with them. See, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should have been no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them. There was not a fault with the covenant. The fault was with the heart of the people. They didn't have the heart to keep the covenant. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. That's the new covenant that Jeremiah prophesied. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. He's not going to write them on tables of stone. By his Holy Spirit, he writes it on our heart. We don't have to keep God's commandments. We get the privilege to keep God's commandments. And now, what I want to do is what God wants me to do. And it's cool. It's such freedom. I want from the heart. I want to do what God said. I want to. That's what I want to do. Unless I'm not thinking right. What a glorious thing. What a glorious salvation we have. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor. And that's why I tell you, I'm sure you've heard me say, that I am glad you have an unction from the Holy One. I am not your teacher. The Holy Ghost is your teacher. And my teacher. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. See, now normally they used a silver censer. But on Yom Kippur, they used a golden censer, which could hold about five times as much incense. I mean, it could really smoke them up, Bubba, that golden censer. And it was kept inside the Holy of Holies. The high priest on the Yom Kippur, he would reach around that curtain, grab that golden censer. Because the only time the golden censer was used, was on Yom Kippur. And it held about five times as much incense as on the table of incense. See, they had a little table there, too, that they would put some coals on and dump some incense on. It'd make a little bit of smoke. But nothing like this golden censer would that they used on Yom Kippur. But that's the only time it was used, just that one day a year. Because it really would smoke them up, Bubba, with that golden sensor, because it was huge, you know. At least five times bigger than the normal table of incense, that the amount of incense and coals that they put on that table of incense, okay? And inside the Holy of Holies, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Paul didn't know what the Ark of the Covenant looked like. Not even the high priest knew what the Ark of the Covenant looked like. And nobody in the Second Temple ever knew what the Ark of the Covenant looked like, because there never was an Ark of the Covenant in the Second Temple. Because when the First Temple was going to be destroyed, Jeremiah and the faithful high priest hid it directly under the spot where Jesus Christ would be crucified 600 years later. And then when the centurion pierced his side with that spear, there was an earthquake that happened simultaneously, and that 3.5 pints of blood and water ran down that crack with that earthquake that split the earth 6 inches to the left of the cross where he was crucified, and that blood and water that John saw come out of his side ran down that crack and dripped right on the mercy seat where Jeremiah and the faithful priest had placed the Ark of the Covenant 600 years earlier. When the blood of Messiah hit the mercy seat, we were all bought and paid for. That's the gospel. That's the good news. God himself is the Lamb. Just like Abraham said to Isaac, God shall provide himself a lamb. He made the payment that we couldn't make. No way could we make it. Hallelujah. What a glorious gospel. I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to be a Christian. Now, perfect redemption. Amen. Perfect. I believe in eternal security. I don't believe in the once saved, always saved. You know, we have a part in this deal. But I sure do believe in eternal salvation and eternal security. Yes, yes. The only one who could mess it up is me. Hallelujah. And God has done his part. And you don't want to let these things slip. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into that first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God where the altar was. That's where business was done every day, day by day. But into the second, into that Holy of Holies, beyond that second veil. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year. And don't you see, what the high priest could only do once a year, we can do 365 days a year, 24/7. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. But into the second went the high priest alone. Only the high priest could go there, and only once a year. And not without blood. Yeah, talk about an open door, huh? Glory to God. But into that second went the high priest alone, once every year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all, see, that was the Holy of Holies, but that wasn't the holiest of all. The holiest of all is where God the Father is seated on the highest throne of the universe. The temple of God in heaven, see, that's the holiest of all. And what Moses built and what Solomon had constructed was only a pattern of that, which is the holiest of all, where Yeshua is now seated at the Father's right hand. And we can go there. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way, Jesus is the way, you see, that the way into the holiest of all, where the Father is seated on the highest throne in the universe, was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Hallelujah. But you see, now, through the blood of Yeshua, we can get the conscience purified. There's no record of any sin put under the blood in heaven. No record of it. God says he throws it as far as the east is from the west into his sea of forgetfulness. And we are justified just as if I'd never done it. Wow. You see, there was nothing in the Levitical priesthood that compares with that. Now, what's sad is you see some messianic messes nowadays wanting to go back to this Levitical priesthood. And they don't realize that they are doing despite to the spirit of grace. They are thereby even despising the blood of God. But it's happening. Sad, but it's really a sad sign of the times. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Yeah. See, we've got something so much better than that. Which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Hallelujah. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You see, his blood hit the mercy seat. Never in the second temple that Solomon built, or that Zerubbabel rebuilt, or that Herod remodeled, was there an Ark of the Covenant to even put blood on. But the blood of the Lamb of God prophesied by Abraham on that Nisan 14 and 30 AD was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And we were all bought and paid for. Glory to God. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Glory to God. Eternal redemption for us. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. As far as I know, Ron told me that blood is still alive. But the plain fact is this. When the blood of Messiah hit the mercy seat, we were all bought and paid for. It's an awesome revelation. You know, I was raised in a Roman Catholic Church of black witchcraft. So the whole concept of salvation was difficult for me until I met Ron Wyatt. That was one of the most huge advances in my faith and walk with God that ever happened, meeting Ron Wyatt. Because then all of this made sense when I understood how Ron found that Ark of the Covenant in that cave directly underneath the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And when that earthquake occurred, the blood of Messiah went down that crack and was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Oh, hallelujah. Awesome. Awesome. And we're talking now eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. You know, you can write a will, and you can change that will, and the first will, you know, it's like it never existed. It's the last will that counts. And for that last will and testament to be official, you got to die. But once you're died, that's it. It's settled. It's cast in concrete then. See, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And that's what happened in that cave too. Because all of the vessels that were in the most holy place, Jeremiah had placed in that cave. And the way it was situated, as that blood came down, it sprinkled. Not just on the mercy seat, but it sprinkled on all those other vessels that were normally supposed to be in the holy place. Oh, it's awesome. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. You get a chance to talk with the Jewish person about the gospel. You just tell them this: without the shedding of blood there is no remission. You don't get more central Torah teaching than that. The Jew may not know much, but they know this is true. And this is our common ground, you see. Without the shedding of blood there is no remission. And it's the blood of the Lamb of God prophesied by Abraham that did bring eternal salvation to those who would come to God by his provision in Messiah. Hallelujah. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. They were patterns of what was in God's third heaven. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, just like Abraham prophesied. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hallelujah. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy and Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.